The Guardian.
Well, I think the most important part about it all was that the courts have recognised and, again, sort of instantiated in principle that journalists do have confidential sources, and despite how seemingly great the danger or the importance in this field, as, you know, the field of terrorism, journalists have a right to protect those confidential sources from even the police.
But the other side of the same coin is that the High Court has also accepted, in principle, that the police can seize reporters' notes.
Yes, I don't think they were ever going to sort of come down in favour of there never being a production order power, because Parliament's already got that power down. It's, you know, it's been wrangled around for a long, long time. So it's a question of how these things are framed. So that's the first. That's generally the first part. And they basically deny the police the powers to go on fishing expeditions, especially when it comes to terrorism.
So your complaint was that the original order by the police was too wide-ranging. They wanted anything that you had, was it?
Yes, that it was too wide-ranging. I mean, obviously, unfortunately, I can't talk about exactly what they wanted. It's under legal advice. I'm not allowed to talk about that. But I can say that, obviously, I'm writing a book, and given that, there's a lot of stuff that you need to write one. And they came in, essentially, and sort of wrote up an exhaustive list. And the court said, well, look, that's just not good enough. You can't just have and take what you want. You have to be a bit more precise. And in this case, I think we've really narrowed down exactly what the High Court has said. Look, you've got confidential sources, that's fine. But anything that's not confidential, that should be able to be given over.
So are you comfortable then with the order that's been made? Do you feel that your confidential sources are protected and that in the future people will still talk to you?
Yes, I feel that my confidential sources have been protected, that I can hold my head up high and say that I've stood up for principle, and I've also won on that. And now it's a question of refining exactly what should be given over to the police. It's not clear what that will be.
Because presumably they'll have to go back to the lower court to reapply for an order.
Well, I think the suggestion is that instead of going and starting the process again, I think we're going to hammer this out between our legal representatives and go back to the High Court and something we worked out there. Yes.
Okay. Well, these sorts of stories are always very difficult to explain to a wider audience, because the general public would probably come down in favour of the police. They might think that it's reasonable in the course of a terrorism investigation that the police should have access to all the material that they need to keep the public safe. Would you agree with that, albeit on a limited scale?
There is a debate between security and civil liberties and the rights of the journalistic community. And I recognise that debate. However, it's interesting that the judges have themselves said, well, look, there should be other avenues and of information for the public, right? So in this field of terrorism, it's largely dominated by the police, the security service and the government as to what's known. And so any work that journalists do in this field is especially important. And the other point to that is that I always argue that the police have witness protection schemes. We don't ask them to give up their witnesses after, say, a couple of years or whatever. They say, no, it's over now, because witnesses would never return back to them. So in the same way, journalists need to protect their confidential sources in that exact manner.
Tell me a bit about the experience that you had. What happened? Did the police phone you up or come knocking at your door, or how did it all start?
Well, this was the interesting thing. They really genuinely turned up at my door at 10 to 8, completely out of the blue. I didn't expect it. In fact, I was still in my boxer shorts, embarrassing, when I answered the door.
I should say that Shiv is in a smart suit now.
Yes, I don't normally traverse London in half naked.
No.
In typical sort of British fashion, after a couple of hours, I invited them back in for tea, and I apologising for not having enough biscuits and them apologising for trampling on my civil liberties. But they were in some parts threatening then. I mean, I think it's difficult for any freelance journalist without the support of institutions such as The Guardian or the NUJ, you know, directly behind them. It's difficult to say, well, yes, I'm going to stand for principle, unless you know exactly what you're doing. And thankfully, I did have that support. And so I told them...
Because we should explain, you are a freelance journalist. You're not attached to any particular organisation. You ended up getting the support, I understand, of the NUJ, is that right?
Of the NUJ and the Sunday Times financially. So, I mean, you know, it's been pretty expensive. Going to the High Court is expensive business anyway. And I think the costs are in something of £100,000. So, but I've also had the support of many other organisations and journalists, such as Martin Bright, who's been to through similar things like this in the past and gave me his experience. It's absolutely vital to have this.
What legal basis did the police say that they had for getting this material? Under what act?
The act is the 2000 Terrorism Act, and this actually brings me to the second point. So there's Schedule 5 of the Terrorism Act is the production power. So they say, well, look, you know, we can take this material off whoever. There's another part of the act, which is actually the second part of this judgment, which is about it's called Section 38 and 19 of the 2000 Act, which says, essentially, if you have information and you withhold it from the police and it's relevant to a terrorist investigation, that in itself is a criminal offence. And it's been hanging over like a scythe over journalists' heads, whether journalists themselves would be prosecuted for simply for not giving this information up to the police. And so far, I think most of the journalistic community working in terrorism has sort of ignored it. And in some parts, people have. And obviously, I think the ethical line is if you knew of anything impending, that's not a problem. You go straight to the police. It's the stuff that's done in the past and people are coming forward. And also, it's that line of people who are not themselves radicals. They're just living in those communities and they're afraid of going to the police because that can come with some detriment to them within their own community. So they come to journalists instead. So that's been hanging over. And what the court has said about that, and this is also what's very interesting, is that they've said, we invite the police in this case, and it would seem in any case like this, to grant journalists immunity from prosecution. Because the Manchester police have suggested during this court procedure that they might prosecute me under for withholding the information in the first place.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see how the legal case proceeds and what happens with the production order and whether you have to give up any of your notes, as you say. But what about your professional career? Is this book ever going to see the light of day?
I believe it will. I think what's happened now is there's been a lot of other stuff going on in the background. The main source of this book has been arrested, released.
This is Hassan Butt.
This is Hassan Butt, and he said some stuff in interview, in police interview. Some of it I can't, unfortunately, even talk about it now because the police asked for a reporting restriction on some of this stuff. But it's far more complicated than it seems. I think the book will see the light of day next year, hopefully. I'm a fairly slow writer at the best of times. But it'll be a different book.
Okay.
But hopefully far more interesting.
Well, all strands of the story are really interesting, so thanks very much for coming in, Shiv.
Thank you.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.